taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
There's been a lot of talk lately about misinformation and disinformation. And it got me thinking, what is misinformation? What is disinformation? I keep coming back to the Princess Bride and asking, you keep using that word. Does it? I don't think it means what you think it means. So, knowing me, I went to the dictionary because I think this is important. See, while misinformation is incorrect or misleading information, which to me gives the impression of it's not, you're not intentionally doing, you know, giving bad information. It may be misleading, but that's different from disinformation, which is truly false information deliberately and often covertly spread. Now, what does that have to do with our program today? Well, there have been a lot of claims of the spread of misinformation and disinformation. I've had content removed because it, you know, was accused of being misinformation. I've had content, I've been told that I've provided disinformation. And even when you go back and show the evidence, the proof of what you say, well, there are still people that are saying that's misinformation and that's disinformation. So today, I want to take a look because, you know, I've noticed that a lot of the so-called misinformation and disinformation we've been warned about turns out to be absolutely true. Which brings me to the ultimate question. Who decides what is and is not misinformation? And who should be allowed to make that decision? Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel. We are here to read and study the Constitution and to teach the rising generation to be free. And yet, today we're talking about misinformation and disinformation and what is the proper remedy to those two pieces of information. Now, all the way back, you cast your mind back to the beginning of COVID. Obviously, we're going to spend some time in the first segment talking about COVID because there's been a whole lot of misinformation going on. And all the way back, we were told, no, this wasn't from a lab. It was from a pangolin or it was a wet market. People were actually demonetized and had content pulled for claiming that it could have been lab created. So there's been an interesting story floating around, and I haven't heard a lot about it, but I did a little research. I found this article, and it goes back to something the Epoch Times talked about back in March. You see, the Epoch Times had a story headlined, NIH deleted info received from Wuhan lab on CCP virus genetic sequencing. Now, this was based on a FOIA request from what's referred to as a watchdog group. Now, as you can imagine, the National Institutes of Health weren't too thrilled about that. In fact, a spokesperson disputed the watchdog group's claim that the agency deleted genetic sequencing data about the virus. Now, the spokesperson went on to explain, says that information's that's inaccurately stated. He said, back in June of 2020, in response to a researcher, the NCBI, and I'm sorry, the story doesn't tell you what NCBI stands for, but the NCBI gave the sequence data the status of withdrawn. So apparently there was some sequence data in a database somewhere about this virus, and in June 2020, it was marked as withdrawn, which removes the sequence data from all public access, meaning you can't find it. It doesn't delete it, but you can't find it. Now, the NCBI subsequently reassigned the status of the sequence to suppressed, meaning the sequence data is basically removed from the search process, but you can still find it if you know the exact number to access it by. So remember, we're talking about misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation, again, we're going to go back to the definitions, is incorrect or misleading information. Now, I will grant that the Epoch Times first story, the one back in March 29th, could be listed as misinformation. It wasn't entirely accurate because the data wasn't deleted. It was hidden. In other words, it was marked as withdrawn. We're going to remove this from the public. And then later, it went from hidden to suppressed, meaning this information now is no longer accessible. Well, unless you know exactly where to go. So does that mean the NIH was providing, when the NIH, when they talked about this being not from a lab, was this disinformation? Is it one of those where, you know, technically the NIH is correct? This data wasn't deleted from the NIH. It was merely deleted from public view. It was removed from public view. So that's one of those where, you know, again, you get picky about words and you can pick that one apart. But what we do see is that we see the NIH and the NCBI removing data about the virus from easy access, from public access. They didn't actually delete the data. It wasn't removed from the database. We're just gonna hide it. It's kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, my father used to get these awesome chocolate-covered graham crackers. They were delicious. Of course, being a child, my sister and I, we loved them. Now, my father had to hide them from us because we would just eat them. Now, my father didn't delete the graham crackers. He withdrew them from our view so that we wouldn't find them and eat them all. That's kind of what we're talking about here. We're talking about the NIH hiding information. So the question is, was the Epoch Times providing misinformation or disinformation? I would call it misinformation, and that technically the data was not deleted, but it wasn't disinformation because it wasn't intentionally false. It wasn't a deliberate attempt to spread wrong information. Now, it sounds like the NIH and the NCBI were deliberately trying to hide information. And this isn't the only claim. See, a scientist, a Christine Anderson, who's been a confidant of the infamous Anthony Fauci, who's received millions of dollars in grants from the agency that he runs, that he's the director of, reportedly offered to secretly delete a research paper exposing the fact that the National Institutes of Health have erased a database containing information relevant to the origins of the COVID-19 virus. Now, Anderson is a virologist at Scripps Research Institute, and she made this suggestion during a Zoom call with Anthony Fauci and alongside a former NIH director, Francis Collins, and the paper's author, Jesse Bloom. Now, according to reporting, Bloom, who is an evolutionary biologist, had actually recovered a number of the early SARS-CoV-2 genomic sequences, which were erased by the NIH, allegedly at the request of the Chinese Communist Party researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, Vanity Fair revealed at this Zoom call, during this call, the details of these paper and the, shall I say, cover-up were revealed. Now, I want you to think back. Have you seen the video of Anthony Fauci saying, you know, if you doubt this, if you doubt me, you doubt the science, I am the science? Could it be that he's the scientist who is covering up data at the behest, possibly, of the Wuhan lab in China, a lab controlled by the Communist Party of China? Could it be? Could it be that all those claims about misinformation and disinformation about the origin of this particular virus, well, what they called misinformation was itself their own disinformation? In other words, when they're saying, oh, it's misinformation, never happened, don't look here, nothing behind the curtain. Well, that turned out to be intentionally deceptive, intentionally false information, deliberately and covertly spreading misinformation in order to influence public opinion or obscure the truth? Could that be what was going on? Well, now that we see that there's a memo that has been released from the U.S. State Department, it reveals that government officials knew very early on that the COVID pandemic likely originated at a lab in Wuhan, China. Yeah, so all these claims, all the people who are deplatformed, all the people, you know, all the times a government official said, no, pay no attention, it's misinformation, shut them up, turn them down, we can't allow that here because it disagrees with the current approved government mantra. Turns out that they were actually peddling disinformation. Intentionally, deliberately false information in order to influence public opinion and obscure the truth. Which brings me back to misinformation. You see, while misinformation has a definitive definition, it is used in a very subjective and fluid manner. It's one of the reasons why freedom of speech and freedom of the press are so important. They are so important, they are more important than the fact they're protected from federal government intrusion by the First Amendment. It's more important than they're protected by state intrusion from our state constitutions. The very idea of the ability to contradict what someone says, to state or to print what someone says is misinformation, is the foundation of the search for truth. It is the foundation of what we call science, the challenging of the assumed narrative, the challenging of what we know. It's one of the reasons why I find it so important to listen to other people's points of view, to allow people to contradict. I was on our Constitution study online the other day. And during that, someone was challenging me on interpretations of the Constitution. That's fine. I made a point of saying, that's what this is here for. It isn't enough for me to simply pour forth what I've learned, but that needs to be challenged. You can't assume it's correct simply because it comes from a trusted source. It is why, whether it be Jen Psaki and the Biden administration saying, we're going to turn you in, we're going to have Facebook deplatform you, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or YouTube shutting you down or deleting your content or demonetizing you, when we don't allow a conflicting version of what is happening, the truth is lost in the noise. Remember, one of the defining features of a tyrannical government is control of the truth. When any government says, we control the truth, they control people's lives. So Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you want to determine what is on your platform, that's fine. You have the legal, it is your property, you have that right. But never, ever treat Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Getter, Parler, Rumble, any of these as the truth. If they are open to conflicting ideas, then they may be seeking the truth. But anytime any person, any organization or any government claims the power to control the truth, what they want is control of people's lives. Now, I mentioned the Constitution study, and I want to talk a little bit about that. If you go to constitutionstudy.com/study, we are still having our online Constitution study. As I already mentioned, it is a place where we're reading, We're studying, we're discussing, we're debating. Debating the interpretation of the Constitution is not only allowed, it is encouraged. You can find out more. Again, that's constitutionstudy.com/study to find more about the study. If you want to try it, we record all the sessions we do. The first three, where we cover the Bill of Rights, is absolutely free. You'll find the link on that page. And if you want to sign up for more, once you sign up and try those first three, you can find out more about how to join us for the rest of them. I don't know about everyone else. I have a good time speaking and talking and even getting challenged about the Constitution, what it says, and what it means. Now, I also want to remind you that, you know, the Constitution Study is on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, heard on iHeartRadio 5 days a week, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can find more about the show. You can find recording the show. You can find the show page at AmericaOutLoud.com. If you would share that with friends, share that with family. Help to share the knowledge. Help to spread them like seeds so that we can all find them and share the blessings of liberty. Now, also, if you want to support the Healthy Cell supports the Constitution Study. And what you need to do is, I believe you need to support your immune system. Whether it's while you're on the go or just simply your day-to-day routine, Healthy Cells immune-boosting nutrients come in a travel-ready gel pack that's easy to carry and easy to use. All you have to do is go to healthycell.com, and if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout, you will get 20% off your first order. Try any of their products, 20% off. So whether you try the Immune Super Boost or any of them, remember, use that code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 20% off your first order.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is the McCullough Report. Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement is a combination of calming herbs, amino acids, minerals, and sleep hormone support for the four stages of the human sleep cycle. Fall asleep, stay asleep, get a deep sleep, and achieve REM, or rapid eye movement sleep. This is very important. So there are combinations that address, in this single product, the ability to fall asleep easily. There are others that help the body lower the body temperature, which is normal during sleep. And still others that cause a deep and lasting sleep. That's what so many people are after. And finally, interestingly, combinations that help creativity boosting during REM sleep. I can tell you, I use this one personally. It's in a microgel formula. I had a patient this last week who has long COVID syndrome, and she has terrible GI side effects. And she has GI hypomotility and said, listen, she's not even tolerating pills or these chalky, large vitamins. I said, go to Healthy Cell. Get the Healthy Cell line. We use it in post-COVID syndrome patients. And this product particularly will help sleep get on track. Now, I tell people, listen, take it every night and do so for months and months. The body likes regular administration of any exogenous substance. Don't take it on and off. It's not like a sleeping pill. This is something you would take every night to get high quality sleep back into your day. And you feel better during the day after having better quality sleep at night. So go to healthycell.com and in the promo code type in OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're talking about misinformation and disinformation, and what does it mean when people wish to control the information you have access to, and the importance of not allowing that to happen. Now, I talked in the first segment about, among other things, well, good old Lord Fauci, the man who claims to be science, the man who claims to define what is and isn't truth. Sooner or later, you're going to find out he's wrong. Now, Fauci has said that sooner or later, we will need a fourth shot. Oh, by the way, folks, I will let you know, I've had absolutely zero COVID shots. I refuse to take the COVID shots. I even was willing to defy a federal subpoena to avoid taking a COVID shot. Thankfully, that didn't happen. I didn't have to worry about that. But I have had no COVID shot. But he says we're going to need a fourth COVID shot. And of course, he, Mr. Fauci, being science, well, if he said it, it must be true, right? And any contradiction of that must be misinformation. So when the Sheba Medical Center out of Israel, a medical center that for the fourth year has been recognized as one of the top 10 hospitals in the world, the very best hospital in Israel, when they weighed in on the question of the fourth injection, well, here's their response. See, they published a study called Efficacy of a Fourth Dose of COVID-19 mRNA Vaccine Against Omicron. And it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And they looked at the efficacy of a fourth coronavirus, quote-unquote, vaccine from Pfizer or Moderna. And what did they find? Well, they said the interim result release showed that the vaccine offers little to no protection against contracting the virus when compared to young and healthy individuals vaccinated with three doses. So for those of you who are wondering, you now have scientific evidence that the fourth, quote-unquote, vaccine dose is a scam. Now, does that mean it's the absolute God's honest truth? No. The hospital admitted that this was the interim results. Does this result surprise me? No. We look at the data we already have. We know that as a vaccine, the Moderna and Pfizer treatments are a failure. They do not stop infection. They do not stop spread. At best, well, we have the Fauci who said it would keep you from getting sick to now being well. It'll keep you from having bad symptoms. So who's providing the misinformation? Is it Fauci? Or is it Sheba Hospital in Israel? Or is it me? Better question, who's providing the disinformation? Remember, misinformation is inaccurate or misleading information. Disinformation is deliberately false information meant to influence public, especially meant to influence public opinion or obscure the truth. Who's obscuring the truth, ladies and gentlemen? Better yet, why does Dr. Fauci not want to be challenged? He's human. None of us like to be challenged. None of us like having our assertions challenged. It's painful. It's gut-wrenching. But if we are adults, we must not only allow, we must encourage that our assumptions be challenged. Because if we don't, we never learn. If we don't, we suffer the consequences of ignorance. Well, take, for example, the countries that have gone the farthest when it comes to implementing lockdowns. The zero tolerance, the zero COVID strategy taken by several countries around the world. Now, COVID-19 has been on a steady decline in both cases and deaths in the United States. But let's take a look at China, which implemented perhaps the most draconian measures in the world to fight COVID-19. They track every citizen's movement. They've locked people in their homes if exposed to the virus. They've shut down entire cities at the first sign of a small outbreak. Yet numbers reported by the CCP, which are disputed by many experts, makes it appear you have a massive country just having this whole thing under control. Except now that country is being overwhelmed with outbreaks. Nearly a third of the total cases in the country for the entirety of the pandemic occurred just in March. See, things have gone from bad to worse in China after these lockdown orders that were praised by so many. Or what about Hong Kong? Well, granted, Hong Kong's now part of China, but They appeared to have everything under control. They had everything locked down. In fact, back in February, they reported a mere 213 deaths since the pandemic began. Now, just 2 months later, their death count is over 7,800. 97% of the city's deaths have occurred in the last 2 months. Many experts say, well, no, South Korea. South Korea had the best pandemic response in the world. Strict surveillance and tracing tools. Zero COVID strategy. Now, while they didn't go for draconian nationwide lockdowns, they were very strict. South Korean policies had infected residents, had their phones and credit card data tracked to retrace their movements. Close contact of the infected were required to isolate for 2 weeks with a twice-a-day check-in from government officials monitoring COVID-19. And individuals who got the virus were sent to isolation facilities. However, in March 2022, daily cases peaked at more than 621,000. And the country's death count has more than doubled in March alone. New Zealand set a new record high of COVID deaths the other day. And its 7-day average surpassed that of the U.S. this week for the first time during the pandemic. Both South Korea and Hong Kong have the most per capita deaths in the world over the last 7 days. These are the places we are told we must follow them. We must do the draconian lockdown, the tracking, the invasion of privacy, the destruction of rights. We must do that. Yet in these countries, it's failed. So who provided the misinformation? Was it the scientists or the media that pointed to these countries and said, look at what they're doing. Well, they're wonderful. They're locking everything down. Or were the scientists and the people that were skeptical going, we don't think these are going to work. And that is the point of misinformation. Why misinformation, in my mind, is a dirty word. Now, one, it assumes that the person claiming the other thing is misinformation knows absolutely everything. There is beyond a shadow of a doubt. There are very few things we should believe that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Okay, 2 + 2 = 4, we should know beyond a shadow of a doubt. But there's not, you know, there are very few things that we should be that certain in. Gravity draws you towards a large, high mass body. That you can be certain of. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Those are things we can be certain of. But the things that are in man's control, the things that man comes up with, misinformation should not enter the vocabulary when dealing with those things. Because understand, the term misinformation is not about misinformation. See, if someone, I was having a discussion with somebody about some fact of the Constitution, about something I had written about the Constitution. And I was more than willing to entertain the possibility that I'd gotten something wrong. And I welcomed the challenge. I didn't enjoy it. But you see, if I state that my assumption, my assertion cannot be challenged, it is not about educating the other person anymore. See, if I engage in a debate with somebody about a topic, we should be searching for truth. Yes, there is such a thing as truth. I know there are people that will tell you there is no such thing as truth. That ranks right up there with misinformation. But when someone's assertion is beyond challenge, it's not about informing the other person. It's about controlling them. Whenever you see someone claim misinformation, now you can claim somebody is wrong. But when people claim that, oh, that's just misinformation, not here are the facts that challenge that, then they more often than not are looking to control the other, not inform the other. See, if someone comes to me with a statement that I believe is factually accurate, and I believe I can prove it's factually accurate, my response is never, that is misinformation. My response is always what I believe is the correct information. When someone tells me that America is a democracy, I don't simply claim misinformation and ban them from conversation. I point to the definition of a republic, the definition of a democracy. I point to the Constitution and the fact that the states have to have a republican form of government. The federal government is supposed to guarantee it. I use counter facts to oppose information I believe is wrong. Misinformation, that word is being used not to educate, but to intimidate, to suppress ideas that someone finds uncomfortable, to suppress issues that someone doesn't want to come to light, to suppress information, to suppress inquiry, to suppress science itself. Science is about challenging assumptions. You have a hypothesis. You develop a test to test the hypothesis. You examine the results of your test and then modify your hypothesis to match the results of the test. And then you do it again and again and again and again. You never say, this must be right, therefore we don't need to test because, well, we couldn't possibly be wrong. In fact, the very idea of the scientific, you think of the Galileos and the other people in history who were jailed, who were suppressed, sometimes even killed for challenging the status quo. We have freedom of speech and freedom of the press so that we may challenge what other people are saying. And especially challenge what government tells us. And the day you surrender to misinformation, the day you surrender to the label of misinformation, is the day you surrender your freedom of thought. You surrender your right to think for yourself. You surrender wisdom. Benjamin Franklin, writing as Silas Do-Good, said that without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. These calls, these claims of misinformation are antithetical to freedom of speech. They are antithetical to freedom of thought. Therefore, they are antithetical both to liberty and to wisdom. Now, Franklin went on to say, we talk about freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far by it, he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer, and the only bounds it ought to know. This call of misinformation, of claiming, I don't have to deal with it, I don't have to challenge it, I just claim it, label it misinformation, and it goes away. I don't have to deal with it, is a check on the freedom of speech by hurting and controlling the right of another. They are claiming the right to control what you say and to control what you see. It is one of the most vile, despotic tools in human civilization. Not simply to deny someone the right to speak, but to deny someone the chance to listen and thereby learn, to hear a contrarian idea, to ponder it, to mull it over, to apply their wisdom, to apply their thought process as they seek wisdom. That's why I will fight with all the manly power I can muster these claims that simply by labeling something as misinformation, it must be removed from the public square. No, that is the very thing that must be brought front and center to the public square. The spotlight must be shown on it, and it must be considered by all, simply because someone wanted to hide it from you. Now, I'm heading into another break, but before I do, I want to remind you, please head to constitutionstudy.com. You can find everything that I'm working. You can find where I am speaking, and I am looking to put together more events. If you would like me to come speak to your group, at your event, to whatever size that's possible, please contact me. You can request a speaker right there on the website. I do not charge to come speak to your event unless you're charging people to show up. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can donate. You can become part of the process. You can become those that are securing the blessings of liberty. Also, please make America Out Loud your daily stop for news and happenings. It's more important than ever that we do our part to share the stories, the podcasts, the articles, and videos to help secure the liberty of others.
You've been in that situation. The person next to you is sniffling, or worse yet, coughing. Flu, cold, and SARS-CoV-2 are everywhere. Would you like an additional layer of protection to reduce these threats with an invisible mask? Sold by hundreds of pharmacists and medical doctors, our American-made povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray, Cofix RX, lasts for hours deactivating viruses and germs that make us sick. Find a retailer near you or buy online at CofixRx.com. America Out Loud listeners use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
How the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and we're talking about misinformation, disinformation, and how to protect yourself from both. Now, in the first two segments, we talked a lot about COVID because there's been a lot of misinformation and disinformation around COVID. There's also been a lot of attacks on things referring to them as misinformation and disinformation in an attempt to hide from you data that certain people find inconvenient. But there's more. So I want to spend this third and final segment talking about some other areas that we need to be open and aware when it comes to misinformation and disinformation. As a parent, one of the scariest things is having information hidden from me about my child. Now, granted, my child is an adult, so I know there's stuff that she's not telling me. But when she was small, I expected to know what was going on. So when I read stories like this one out of the Washington Examiner, talking about school teachers that are being told to keep information secret from parents, That is not misinformation. That is disinformation. Remember, misinformation is information that is either incorrect or misleading. Disinformation is deliberately false information that is meant to influence you. So when a report that the Loudoun County School District officials instructed staff to avoid informing students about the possible transgender nature of their children, to not talk to parents about their child's gender identity in school, well, unless the student gives the school express permission, that's disinformation. That's deliberately hiding information from parents. Now, they'll claim it's to protect the children. No. When you're dealing with adult children that are legally, they're of the majority, they can make decisions for themselves, that's one thing. When you're talking about minor children, that is not protecting the child, unless you're talking about protecting them from an alternate point of view. Now, a group called Fight for Schools filed a Freedom of Information request to get this information out of the Loudoun County School District. There were slides from an August training where the staff were instructed, at least for transgendered students, hide it from the parents. Now, remember, for the most part, there are, as you're going through puberty, many children will have questions, confusion. Their bodies are changing. They're high on drugs. Well, they're high on hormones. They don't know what's going on. It's not only a very confusing time, but a time that they are easily manipulated. Now, if a child is confused, why would you hide it from the parents? See, this is the part that I find most insidious. See, it's the assumption that we have to hide this from the parents because, what, the parents might give them a different context? The parents might not agree with them? Now, let me ask you, if a child wanted to use drugs, would that be kept from the parents as a question of privacy and confidentiality? If a child were, if the child were to take up driving a motor vehicle, would you hide that from the parents? If the child wanted to join the football team, would you hire that from the parents? No. And there's one very simple reason, I believe, for the vast majority of these rules and regulations that are trying to hide children's activities from the parents. That is to separate the children, to break up the family, to separate the children from the parents so they don't see another point of view. See, the thing about misinformation and disinformation is they want to isolate you from other information. This is about isolating children so they don't see the other possibilities. See, if the schools are just sitting there going to affirm everything the child says, as if out of the mouths of babes, everything is perfect. But you see, children are human. They're wrong. They make mistakes. Worse than that, their brains aren't fully formed. They don't have the life experience to consider the consequences of their decisions. So when schools are not informing you or hiding from you, to be accurate, they are actively hiding from parents what's going on with their children. That is disinformation. That is deliberately false information that is done to influence, in this case, our children. And it's there to obscure the truth. And it is evil. But it's also what we're told we can't talk about because we're told that's misinformation. Or what about this line, that January 6, 2020 was an insurrection, that was there was riots and insurrections, and oh my God, the government almost toppled because of what happened on January 6, 2020. It is so bad, people need to be locked up for an extended period of time for minor offenses because, well, we just couldn't let this happen. We have an illegal kangaroo, quote-unquote, court with a special committee hearing in the House of Representatives. The illegal, right? These are illegal trials because this isn't about legislating. This is about investigating for punishment, which is not the role of Congress. That's what the executive is for. And I've been warning you about this. Well, guess what? Finally, a U.S. judge, Trevor N. McFadden, he's a district court judge, and he's finally shining some light and saying, wait a second, something's wrong here. See, looking at the prosecution of the January 6th demonstrators, the judge says, I know that government believes that the January 6th cases are sui generis, meaning one of a kind, or therefore, and therefore can't be compared to other cases. But I don't agree. It does feel like the government has two standards here, and I can't abide by that. Thank you, Judge McFadden. Thank you for being someone in government to finally stand up and saying there is something wrong here with how these are being treated. He went on to say he could not recall an instance when a nonviolent first-time offender was sentenced to serious jail time, regardless of their race, gender, or political affiliation. He was specifically referring to the U.S. prosecutors requesting sentencing of January 6th protester Jenny Kudd, who pled guilty to a misdemeanor trespassing charge for simply walking through the Capitol. And what did the Justice Department prosecutors want her sentenced with? 75 days in jail plus a year probation. Judge McFadden thought that was excessive, especially in consideration of the fact that the same Justice Department went easy on other activists that had committed similar breaches and similar trespasses, but you see, they were leftist activists. See, Ty Berry from Code Pink was arrested in 2018 during the Justice Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. Now, he observed that the same government prosecutor sought just 10 days in jail for Berry, wanted 75 days and a year probation because it was a political hatchet job. The judge went on, the government sentencing recommendations here is just so disproportionate to other sentences for people who engage in similar conduct. So not only disproportionate, but totally unreasonable. The judge noted that Berry had a record of 14 prior arrests, whereas Cudd had never been arrested prior to the January 6th event. The judge ended up handing Cudd a sentence of no jail time, 2 months probation, and a $5,000 fine. Now, I pick on judges a lot because I think judges make a lot of mistakes, but I'm glad to see this judge. Does it warrant a $5,000 fine? I don't know. It certainly doesn't warrant 75 days in jail and a year probation. But the two-tiered justice, the political hatchet job, has been exposed. And the disinformation, the intentional lie that January 6th was an insurrection is once again exposed. And let's take a look at another piece of, well, I believe it's disinformation. See, I've heard for most of my life about the gender pay gap, about how, you know, women get paid 70 cents for every dollar a man gets paid. And it's, you know, remember, you have to remember, there are always lies, darn lies, and statistics. So there's always these statistics showing how, well, I mean, just look at this atrocity, the gender pay gap. A classic example is the U.S. women's national soccer team. See, they say it's unfair that their contracts don't pay them as much as the men's team. They claim it's sexism and it's misogyny. And it's something that is repeated over and over and over again, except for one problem. It's not true. Well, is it true that the women on the national soccer team, their contracts pay less than those on the men's national soccer team. That is true. What's not true is why. Well, for example, a recent report from the Pew Research Center found that women under age 30 now earn more money than their male counterparts in 22 of the country's largest cities, including Washington, New York, and Los Angeles. How can this be? I thought this country was misogynist. I thought we hated women and we just don't pay them enough. We don't value them. We don't pay them. Well, it's because the reasons that the pay is different is not because of a person's sex. Now, interesting enough, Pew has some possibilities about the reason for this inversion, this pay gap. You see, according to Pew, the primary reason appears to be that, well, women for several years have been graduating college at a much higher rate than men, significantly. So with college degrees generally commanding a higher salary, at least a starting salary and pay rates in many businesses and many industries, as well as a fast rate of pay increases, it doesn't take long to see the pay gap had nothing to do with gender. It had to do with education and experience. Now, this is added to a long list of studies that show things like the amount of hours worked a week, the amount of time dedicated to the job, the willingness to take on dangerous or more unpleasant jobs. All of these lead into an understanding of why women may not make as much money as a man. Even in the same job, if the woman has a career working 40 hours of work and her male counterparts have a career working 60 hours a week, they're going to get noticed. They're going to get promoted. They're going to be more desirable. But you see, the misinformation that the only reason that women make less than men is because of misogyny, because of a gender pay gap. Well, this leads you to a false conclusion. It obscures the truth. Now, I agree. If you have two individuals that are equally qualified, equally skilled, equally experienced, working for the same job in the same city, doing the same thing, then in general, they should make the same. And by the way, I don't care if it's a gender question, if it's a race question, if it's a religion question. But just because someone says that there is a gender pay gap doesn't mean it exists. And just because they point to some statistics doesn't mean they haven't analyzed for what are called confounding variables, for things that challenge their assumption. So let me conclude with this thought. Now, whether you're dealing with misinformation, disinformation, or outright propaganda, the point is there will always be people that do not want to deal with that confounding variable, that confounding information, the data that challenges their assumption. I deal with it all the time. It's all the more reason why freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of press is so important to a free country. The ability to look at the other side, the ability to explore ideas that may contradict with what you believe or with what somebody wants you to believe, is the only way we have freedom. It is the only way we have liberty. So every time you hear somebody trying to shut down misinformation, understand they are trying to restrict your access to data because they don't like it. See, if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, then misinformation is in the eye of the observer. And when someone, you know, like the magician's trick, right? When the magician is trying to get you to look one way, it is more important than ever that you look somewhere else. If they're telling you, you have to look this way, almost guaranteed there's something over there they don't want you to see. If you want to be a free people, if America wishes to remain the land of the free, We must not only allow ourselves to be exposed to information other people don't like. We must demand the ability to do so. And recognize that anybody that wants to shut down our ability to see information they don't like does not have our best interests at heart. They may think they do, but they do not. And that's all the more reason I'm going to ask you to go to AmericaOutloud.com. Make it your daily stop for news and information. Not your only stop, but make it a daily stop. Find out what is happening. Get those alternate points of view. Do your part. Become part of the solution. Share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos. Expose others to these other ideas, even if you don't think they'd agree with them, especially if you don't think they'd agree with them. Be open to new ideas. Share this information. Share the podcasts. Help other people find these. Spread them like seeds that you cast in a field. Like Johnny Appleseed spreading the apple seeds, let us spread the seeds of constitutional literacy, of freedom, and of liberty so that we can share the blessings of liberty with ourselves and our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.